Watch football with us at KHDK Sunday, Cheater Sports Bar, 3221 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento. Street team giving away prizes from 5:30 to 6:30. For more info, visit khtk.com. Katie, you put UFC news on my desk this morning.
Yes, I did.
That was rather interesting. Got a list here with the purchase of the UFC by WME/IMG. Celebrities were allowed to buy small shares in the UFC. The minimum investment, $250,000. So they're not just coming in for $5 and some name recognition here. Got a list here of some, just some.
There's 23 total.
Yeah. Adam Levine, Ben Affleck, Cam Newton, Serena Williams, Tom Brady, Maria Sharapova, Jimmy Kimmel.
Venus Williams as well.
LL Cool J, Guy Fieri, Mark Wahlberg, Michael Bay, so there's going to be a lot of explosions. Robert Kraft of the Patriots, Conan O'Brien, Sylvester Stallone, and South Park's Trey Parker, amongst others.
Boy, there are a lot of insufferable people.
That is just a strange,
very diverse collection of investors.
Yes, we had a very diverse collection of content over the first 2 hours of this program. Here's what you missed. For that and so much more, including this upcoming hour, check out the podcast at khtk.com. Before we get to Kadri Ismail, there's something I want to squeeze in here real quick before we get to Raider coverage. I want to talk about the Chicago Cubs, not necessarily the Cubs specifically, but I want to ask you guys about a philosophy here. Mm-hmm. Joe Maddon is rightfully thought of as maybe the greatest manager in baseball, not named Bruce Bochy. And there's certainly arguments on all sides. His players love him. He gets results. And he has his own approach. Now, Jake Arrieta and Miguel Montero, the battery pitcher-catcher for the Cubs, were a little bit miffed on Wednesday because Montero was removed from the game catching while Arrieta was still pitching. And Maddon said he wanted to get rookie Wilson Contreras an inning with Arrieta in case that combo was going to have to be together in a postseason contest, and Arrieta ended up giving up three more runs in what was a very poor start for him in the fifth inning. Now, the contention from the players is that because the Cubs wrapped up the division and the league and everything they needed to do back in December, pretty much, that it's sort of become, in their words, a spring training feel, and they want to be out there and they want to play. They don't want to sit. They don't want to rest. So I'm very curious to ask you guys, do you subscribe more to the, hey, there's nothing else to win here in the regular season. I don't want anybody injured. Let's get you some time, but let's sit you a little bit and rest up. Or you've won more than 100 games. You're doing something right. Momentum is huge in sports, and this applies to the NBA and NFL too. Do you take the risk, throw the players out there because they need to be in that mindset and have that momentum rolling into the playoffs, Katie?
You absolutely do. I don't agree with the mentality of a coach that starts to play games as the season closes up, in baseball specifically. I mean, I see how teams do it in the NBA because it's a contact sport. I think you risk some silly things there. But I think baseball is so much more of a flow and momentum thing, in terms of making sure you've got your timing and so on and so forth. Resting guys like it's spring training right as you're heading into a playoff push, it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, you got to keep playing, man. And especially if you really want Arrieta to get an inning with this guy or some work with him, so in case you'd run into a disaster in the postseason, have him throw his bullpen session with him. I don't think if you're going to pull a catcher, you do it late in the game. There's a way to go about making sure that your guys don't get dinged up, but it's not by taking them out of the routine. You don't pull a catcher in what, the fourth inning, the fifth inning, something like that.
I think it was the sixth.
That's just bizarre. Yeah. Listen, when the Cubs fail. And make no mistake that the Cubs are going to fail.
Get out of here.
Because this is the Chicago Cubs we're talking about. It's going to be more spectacular this year than it has ever been. Because now they've set themselves up for Joe Maddon to take the fall and get the blame in the offseason.
I have a weird suspicion. I have nothing to base this on. This is just my spider sense. Are you not the biggest fan of Joe Maddon?
No, actually, I like Joe Maddon. I think this is probably one of the weirder things he's ever done.
It's really
you can't shake the stink of the Cubs.
It's an unwinnable situation. I I understand where he's coming from.
Give guys a day off, the day game after a night game. You know what I mean? There's so much. There's so many ways you can do this.
But you know what? He throws out Jake Arrieta and he plays the whole game, or somebody goes out and gets injured or has arm tightness or elbow soreness or whatever, and next thing you know, talk radio is filled with how, you know, it's the same thing in football. You put Tom Brady out there in week 17 and he takes a knee or messes up his knee, and now everybody is freaking out. You leave Steph Curry in a 20-point blowout in the 81st game of the season, and everybody's freaking out on the manager or coach. Why the hell are you leaving them in? But I tend to agree with you guys on momentum, but
it's timing in baseball. It's timing. It's...
And like one of the biggest things is that he had told them that this was a predetermined deal, so they're going into the game. You just mentioned Steph Curry in a 20-point blowout. Yeah, I mean, that game's decided. That's good. These guys knew going into it that, I'm going to play a few innings today and then whatever. And then they went out and got their asses kicked. That
mentality.
Doesn't feel good.
Then when in doubt, blame the manager. Right. It's because he said I was coming out. You know what? Let's ask our next guest this question. Qadri Ismail is a Super Bowl champion. Qadri Ismail knows what it's like to catch footballs in the NFL, and now he is he works for the Baltimore Ravens broadcast team, letting everybody know exactly what the heck's going on the field. And they take on the Raiders, the Ravens do, this weekend out there. Qadri, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Appreciate you joining us this morning. How are you?
Well, I am doing well. It is a kind of wet, damp morning here in Baltimore, and I'm hoping that it will be nice and ready to go come Sunday with some sun, no rain.
I want to throw a curveball at you, continuing a conversation we were just having about the Chicago Cubs and how they've wrapped up everything going into the playoffs, and their manager made some moves, sitting guys, resting guys, and the guys are pissed off because they feel like it's a little bit of spring training. They want to go out there. Madden's case is he doesn't want to injure these guys. He wants them rested. You have been in situations where your team has had things wrapped up by week 17, and there's one school that says rest the guys, and there's the other one that says keep the momentum going into the playoffs, don't change the routine. Which school do you subscribe to?
So part of athletics is about, can you recover better than your opponent? And clearly the Cubs, they've done a phenomenal job of, recovering and winning. And so you got to look at it and think, who do I need to go into the playoffs with a little bit fresher? Who's the guy that is having a tougher time? We are kind of making up for his error or his lack of ultimate production. So those players, those key players, those are the ones that I would, try to rest up on. But if you're a guy that's used to your routine, you're doing your thing, there's no necessary slowdown, but you need to keep that razor-sharp mental edge, then I'm going to keep you going. And so I think that's the real trick of being a manager or a head coach. It's the ability to kind of read your players and know exactly what you need to do to motivate them. Because ultimately, this time of the year, it's more mental than physical. And if you can at least get some level of recovery physically, it'll pay off big time mentally, especially come crunch time. You're not going to be sitting there trying to compensate for a soreness here or there because of, a ball hit in the direction that, you're going to have to make a spectacular play. You can make that spectacular play look very routine if your legs are fresh.
Qadri, speaking of keeping things going, the Ravens start the season out with some great momentum, 3-0, going into week 4 against the Raiders. What do you see as being some challenges for this Ravens team against the Raiders this week?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you look at what Derek Carr and the defense or the offense has been doing, and if you look at the Ravens defense, while they've played some tremendous football, there have been some big plays that they've given up, in particular Sharice Wright. And so I think if there was ever a guy that they would kind of circle and say, all right, here's a guy we're going to attack, it was going to be Sharice Wright. And until you as a team can stop the bleeding and you as a player can stop the bleeding, I think that, that's where the Ravens, they're probably, DNP, the defensive coordinator, they have a defense that's playing incredibly strong and well. They're not giving up a lot as far as, especially in the second half of games. I know they played Jacksonville pretty tough, and Jacksonville got a late score in a game that actually made it very interesting as far as you know, whether or not we're going to be able to pull off the victory. But with that, I think, you know, the way in which you attack this Ravens defense is through the air, and it is going at Sharice Wright.
Kadri Ishmael with us on KHTK. He's the Ravens radio play-by-play analyst. You know, they're 3-0. You talk about the defense. They've given up the fewest amount of points in the AFC, but the offense has struggled a little bit for the Ravens. What's the key, I guess, for the Raiders? Who's the key on the offensive side that they need to pay attention to?
I think part of the Ravens' offense, and it's still a work in progress, even going into week four of the season, because you know, a couple of pieces are new and a couple of pieces are coming back healthy. Clearly, you look at the offensive line, you got two rookies on the left side of the offensive line, and both Ronnie Stanley, the first-round pick, as well as Alex Lewis, who is their later-round pick, I think fourth-round pick. So, you know, both guys have obviously earned the right to go out there and play, and they've done a good job, but you can see a little bit of the chinks in the armor with them on their technique and stuff because of the fact that they're so young. Both have been banged up this weekend, were limited in practice, so that is a concern if you're a Ravens fan, knowing that, you know, the Raiders defense wants to look to get back on track. You hope that they don't get back on track this week, but that's where I think for the Ravens offense, you know, you got some young pieces across the offensive line. And then on the back end, they're just not running the football very well at all. And that's really concerning because, you know, I know John Harbaugh spoke about, you know, the ability to run the ball and control the clock and control the tempo of the game, because it also helps to take those strong shots down the football field when teams have to commit an extra guy in the tackle box. I think if that's the case, running the ball effectively, you can go ahead and take your shots on the field. But as of now, it's the arm of Joe Flacco that they're relying upon and hoping that the run game will catch up.
Ravens broadcaster and former Raven Kadri Ishmael joining us on KHTK talking Ravens Raiders. Now, a cynic could look at the Ravens and say, you beat the Bills, they suck. And then they went in and took out Cleveland and Jacksonville. This team has not been tested yet, and they might be, to use a term I used earlier, a paper tiger going in. Can you tell me why that may just not be the case with this team?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, any team in the NFL could beat any other team.
Sure.
I mean, you look at, you know, New England. I think New England was left for dead against the Houston Texans because Bill O'Brien, former protege of Bill Belichick, and all the talent that, you know, he had, obviously he didn't know what exactly J.J. Watt was going to bring to the table because of his back injury. But they make no mistake about it, they clearly had talent. And then you look back on it, and they got whooped. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles, they weren't tested, and they all of a sudden played a strong kick-butt kick names later, Pittsburgh Steelers team, and you thought, man, these guys are going to be world beaters based upon what they were all about. And lo and behold, Carson Wentz puts on a clinic against a Pittsburgh Steelers defense that was supposed to be very formidable. So, you know, each week brings its own challenges, and each week, you know, has its own story to tell. I think, you know, that's where the first 3 weeks, you know, the story to tell is the fact that the Ravens defense finished off games. The Ravens offense did what it needed to do. And, oh, by the way, the Ravens, from a special team standpoint, is pretty special. The way they are blocking kicks and just getting the ball back, as well as they're making their field goals from 50-plus on the leg of Justin Tucker.
I'm curious, of the five 3-0 teams right now, the Patriots, Broncos, Ravens, Eagles, and Vikings, we've heard a lot about the other four because of their quarterback situation. How much credit are you guys getting for what you've been able to do at the quarterback situation?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Joe Flacco is, you know, a guy that, you know, has been in many a big game, has produced. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a franchise quarterback. So, you know, Sam Bradford's been moved around quite a bit. You know, Carson Wentz, he's, you know, the story is yet to be written, but off to a really hot start. You know, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors in a disrespectful way, but I think for the Patriots, they do a really good job of scheming, and they also, you know, everybody knows their role, does their job, mm-hmm. but, you know, you can kind of see where they're at And Denver, you know, what the heck? I take my hat off to Denver as well. They got a great defense. And also, you know, look what Simeon did. And he did it against a very good ball club in the Bengals, too. So I'd say Joe Flacco, what he complete 21 straight passes against Jacksonville. You know, they were down by 18. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets hot in the second half versus Cleveland and puts on a clinic against them in the second half. So, yeah, absolutely. He's the guy. He's the guy that I think, people can say whatever, but I think he's the guy that is doing quite well for himself and for this Ravens ball club.
Qadri Ismail with us on KHTK. That begs a very important follow-up question that you've probably gotten really good at answering over the last couple of years. Is Joe Flacco elite, Qadri?
The follow-up question of the elite of the elitist. Well, let's just say you just an elite quarterback. You don't get to the Super Bowl by just being an average guy, but the how he did it, to put himself on the hallowed ground of Joe Montana, really speaks volumes. The way in which his career has gone as far as playoffs in general, always getting back to the playoffs and, not turning the ball over and winning on the road, a ton of road playoff games. I mean, that just speaks to the level of his elite play. And then you also look at, not many people are going to question, the likes of Eli Manning. But Eli Manning will throw a bunch of interceptions. Eli Manning will ride his team's, running game or defense. Eli Manning threw two plays that, you roll the dice whether or not they're going to be completed, and David Tyree, and, it was one of them. So, I think if Joe can't get any love, then, what is the criteria for being elite?
One of the players, the things that I read a story about Kelce talking about going back to the Ravens for his first home game since leaving. From a player perspective, how difficult is that first game back with your former team?
It is weird because, part of it, you fly into town, you're like, all right, cool, I'm here. Man, we're going to the hotel. Wow, this is the hotel that the other team stayed at, huh? I remember we used to go over to here and start to reflect back on all these memories. Then you get over to the stadium, you're like, huh, I remember I used to do this routine, whatever the routine was. And then you go out to the field and you're like, wow, I'm out here on the field and, oh, these are all my boys. So now it's like you're going over there and getting some love to all your boys, talking to some of the coaches, getting some love from them. And then you kind of go back in the locker room and, now it gets real because you're like, all right, you realize how intense you got to be and really, really want to play well. And sometimes that intensity takes over and that really want to play well, you push it and do things that you probably shouldn't do and or you need to do a better job of and pace yourself. So a lot can go on as far as facing your old team. When it comes to it, you just got to ultimately try to do your best to focus in and block it all out and play. And oh, by the way, the Ravens came to play the Indianapolis Colts the next year that I was on Indy, and we beat them. So, yeah. Go ahead, just shake hands before the game, shake hands after the game, but then when you whoop them, you just walk off the field, chest held up high, like, ha ha, y'all should have never got rid of me.
Qadri Ismail joining us. Qadri, one thing I'm worried about from a Raider perspective is when this game is all said and done, the MVP of the game is going to be Jalen Ramsey. There's two things you don't do in my world. You don't staple lunch meat to yourself and dive into a river filled with piranhas. And you don't talk trash to Steve Smith. How pissed off is he going into this Raider game?
See, this is what I love, too. And I appreciate it, Jalen, because up until that point, he's been kind of like, kind of frustrated. And he was, I remember even in Cleveland, he was trying to, find something to motivate him, and he's trying to pick at Joe Hayden, and he was doing a decent job of it, but it wasn't really much. But man, you could just see something was different in Jacksonville, and I think now it's like, oh, wait a minute, Jalen, he extrapolated a rookie's desire to be known and put on the map. For now, is everybody going to go ahead and talk some junk and try to challenge me? Huh. All right, let's do this. And I think that kind of moxie and bravado and just Steve Smith-isms, that's just good for the Ravens, because I think, you know, when Steve gets going, you want him on your side. And I think for the Ravens as a ball club, they need a motivated Steve Smith to get to where they want to go.
Godfrey, we appreciate the time. Look forward to a great game this Sunday. Always a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Take Thanks. Care. That is Godfrey Ishmael, who he's always a fun interview. He's fun to talk to.
I get fired up just hearing people talk about how much of a badass Steve Smith is.
He is.
Like, the guy's like, oh, really, Rook? Huh? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take it out on you and the whole league.
The entire league. Like, if I'm the Raiders, I'm looking at Jalen Ramsey and go, why? Do this before your game.
You know, it's so crazy to me because we've talked so much about the quarterback situations throughout the league, and it's crazy that the five teams that are 3-0 have got four of them have, like, rookie quarterbacks or first-time quarterbacks. We've heard nothing about Joe Flacco. Nothing. Nothing at all. Does he get any credit for the fact that they're 3-0?
Yeah.
You have a look on your face, Nate.
Joe Flacco's funny. I mean, is he elite? Is he not? Like, that's...
But is he funny like a clown? Does
he
make you laugh?
Yeah, like, ha-ha funny.
We'll take a break. Come back with Sound from the Day. Also, Wheel of Kings coming up next. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, it's time for Wheel of Kings, everybody. Hey, how you doing? Very simple. I'm your host, Carmichael Dave, over at the Wheel, Katie Christensen. And
Vanna Katie.
Yeah, exactly. Katie White.
I look a lot like her this morning, don't I?
In the face, especially.
I actually like the idea of Nate being Vanna White more just because of the beard.
Because he's so dainty.
Gross.
Let's see.
We do have the same figure.
Don't forget to collect all 15 former Kings players we read off. Bring the names to Malt and Mash, 715 K Street, Tuesday, October 18th, from 5 to 7 to enter to win. Now, if I remember correctly.
Numero 6, isn't it?
Huh?
Today? Numero 6?
Wait, what?
Is that 5?
6.
I don't know. It's something. I don't know.
I think it's number 6.
Matt's saying 7.
Well, is it 6?
Is it? It's number 7. Then I'm missing one. I'm forgetting one that we did.
Well, you know, write them all down. It's not easy because you could sit King's Row for opening night.
I'm going to be busy opening night.
Yeah, you won't even have a seat.
Yeah.
We'll
That's
see.
That's still undetermined sure whether or not there's a place for me.
Katie, you want to walk over to ye olde wheel?
Oh,
your turn.
It's great because we pulled this back. They had to bring it all the way over from the golf tournament Monday when we took it out there and Greg Ostertag spun it.
Space.
It does. That's the problem. You have to move your microphone in order to spin this sucker.
It doesn't go that far.
You ready?
Okay.
All right, spin the wheel there, Vanna. You guys don't always have to spin it so hard.
It's my workouts.
Wow, nope. No Dwayne Coswell. Not Travis Mays.
You're
Is it Anthony
silly.
Bonner? No. What do you know?
Oh.
The number 7 pick, the first of 4 first-round picks. I just named the other 3 out of LaSalle. The L-Train, the originator of Nintendonitis, Lionel Simmons. Yeah, right, Lionel. Write him down.
I'm doing it. Don't boss me.
Lionel Simmons, bring him and all the other Kings. Just bring them all in person. 715 K Street, Tuesday, October 18th. Malt and Mash, 5 to 7 to enter to win. 339-1140 right now. Speaking of enter to win, let's get some pick fourses in there. Mm-hmm. Here's your games. And we'll make our picks in the next segment along with Nostra Damas. You've got Niners, Cowboys.
I think I've got them all.
Raiders, Ravens. Seahawks, Jets. Saints, Chargers.
Yeah.
How did the Seahawks and Jets get in there?
I will tell you why.
Is it a surprise for the next segment?
No, not really. Okay. No, because I think we talked about it at 6 a.m. when you were still asleep. Because I actually said, why did I put the Seahawks and Jets and why did I put the Saints and Chargers in? Because it's pick 4, and although those are not, I was looking over the schedule, I wanted to put in a couple of games that would be more difficult to pick than games that we're excited about. Like, Pats and Bills should probably be in there, but is anybody not going to pick the Pats? And do we really think the Bills are going to win?
Well,
I don't know.
Actually, I mean, that's kind of how I felt about the Seahawks and Jets, though.
Really? You think it's just, Seahawks are just going to hammer them?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
Maybe. Tune in next segment.
I honestly think the Saints and Chargers might be one of the toughest games to pick this week.
That could be.
I have no freaking clue who's going to win that game.
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah?
The people who are blacked out.
So you have yeah, that's a great point. You don't have to watch it. Watch some other game. You're also going to get
called League Pass, Nate.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't even need League Pass. You were talking about
watch it on Twitter.
At the end of the at the end of your update there, but just in case people were for some reason tuning out the update, and I don't know why you would. You got Clemson Louisville starting tomorrow at 4:30 after UC Davis football. All right. That's going to be a fantastic game, number 3 versus number 5. And then there's a quadruple header on Sunday, starting with the London game.
London
game, Colts and Jaguars.
And what time does that stop?
6:30. Glad I had that written down.
A.M.?
Otherwise, I would have PM.
Ooh.
Dude, welcome to London football. It's kind of rad, actually.
I think so. It's kind of like, for those of you who are soccer fans, you get that every Sunday because there's always an awesome Premier League game usually at 4:30. But in this case, now you get to go right into London. I was wondering what that was. I thought that's where you were going, Matt. You get to go right into London with all their crumpets and tea. And
I wonder if the Queen will be there.
Perhaps. The furry hats, the black furry hats, the tall ones that the bobby pins wear, whatever they're called.
Whatever they're called.
The bobby pins. Isn't that what you use to hang up your laundry?
That's a clothespin.
The bobbies are the police.
Yeah,
like
right.
They say go up box.
I think
mean
we
elevator.
Call them bobby pins in on the old ranch.
I thought a bobby pin went into your hair. And a clothespin hung
is
up.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, the bobby pins.
That explains it, because when I was growing up, my hair was all of an inch long.
Did you use clothespins in your hair?
I didn't have hair. I had short little boy haircut with a baseball hat on. It's true.
Raiders, Ravens, Broncos, Bucks, and Sunday Night Football. You know that song he was just playing, God Save the Queen. You know that.
Or God Bless America.
We sing that same. That's My Country Tis of Thee over here in America. It's the same exact song. It's the same tune, just different words. Also, did you know this? Did you know that the ABC song, Ba Ba Black Sheep, and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, also all three the same exact tune?
And you can play them all on a telephone.
Just you very much can. And on a calculator, you can spell boobless.
Mm-hmm.
You can. Just with a bunch of eights and some sevens and stuff. Let's get to some. It's true. Let's go to Nick. Nick, would you like to pick 4?
Yes.
All right. Let's start with the Niners and the Cowboys. Who do you have winning? Now, remember, no lines or anything, just straight up.
Cowboys
over the Niners in Santa Clara. Ravens host the Raiders. Who wins?
Raiders.
Seahawks going to New York and take on the Jets.
I go with Seahawks.
Yeah, see, that's a tough game. And then finally, the game of the week, the Saints in San Diego visiting the Chargers. I need a winner, and I need a score.
Go with the Saints 21-7.
The Saints 21-7. There you go. It's our first pick 4 in there. What?
Ba-na-na.
Gave Nate a little look.
No, I gave Nick a look.
Oh, you gave Nick.
Stop the music, man.
Well, what? Why? Well, no.
It's a catchy tune.
Oh, I was gonna give you a little bit of sound.
Oh, never mind.
No, that's
fine. Don't let me be the boss.
Bill O'Brien does not want to talk about J.J. Watt. Did you know that? Because he doesn't.
Wow.
It just blows my mind how little these guys understand how a press conference works.
Little they care.
I know. Good. I guess good for those reporters for not just hammering him for like as long as he would take it with the J.J. Watt question.
Just keep going.
Right? Just wait. Are you going to walk away? Go ahead. Maybe he would.
He probably would have.
How about ask a question instead of the injury update? If you are without him for the remainder of the season, what does that do to your defense?
Idea.
Or what adjustments can you make?
No idea.
Tennessee questions, please.
We're on to Tennessee.
We're just
moving on to the next game. It's next guy up.
No idea.
It's obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
The Roseville Auto Mall is not obnoxious.
I agree.
They want to remind you that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Join the Cage to Cage Street team this Sunday, noon to 1 at Nilo Acura. Stop by to receive your pink giveaways. For more info, Visit khtk.com, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 11th caller gets a four-pack of tickets to see your Republic FC in the first round of the USL playoffs. They host the hated Orange County Blues at Bonnie Field this Saturday, 7:30 kickoff. You can, of course, get tickets at sacrepublic.com. We'll do Nostradamus next. Call now, Sports 1140 KHTK. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this. Nostradamus, the weekly exercise where we set ourselves up to look stupid on Monday. Well, I should say stupider than normal on Monday, where we tell you exactly how a game is going to go. We did not share with each other what we were going to say, what we were going to do. Hopefully we have not repeated games. I took the win on Monday. I'll pat myself on the back. Why not? I took the win with the Niners.
Yeah, even
a
blind squirrel finds a nut from time to time.
Well, it does. Well, here's your turn there, squirrely. Find your nut, and here we go.
Want me to go first?
Why not? Let's,
okay.
Let's start off, kick it off. Pre-game coin toss. Katie won. She did not defer. Here it is.
I'm taking the Bills and the Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo will start after suffering that AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder in week 2 versus the Dolphins. And, Gronk will be more Gronkish. He will not be a zero target this week. He's going to be targeted 7-plus times. He's going to score 1 touchdown. We're going to get a rushing touchdown. No, you know what? Maybe 2.
Wow.
Maybe 2. From LeGarrette, it's Blunt, right?
Yeah, LeGarrette
Blount.
Yeah,
we're not going to do a Matt and do a Blount.
As in smoke.
LeGarrette Blunt is going to rush for over 100 yards for the second straight week. He's going to find the end zone twice, 2 touchdowns. I think Garoppolo will also find one Julian Edelman for a touchdown because I need those points on my fantasy team. The Bills are coming off a great win over the Cardinals in week 3, but their defense, which picked off Carson Palmer 4 times, will struggle this week. Let's see.
Yeah, score.
They will
there.
Not intercept a single pass.
No.
You're going
down the line here. Jeez.
Tyrod Taylor is going to rush for 1 touchdown, but they're going to struggle against the Patriots defense. He'll fumble once. He'll throw for an interception. He will find Robert Woods, though, for a touchdown, but it's going to be an uninspiring offensive game for the Bills.
It doesn't sound like it at all.
Yeah. You just named off 7 touchdowns.
No, they're going to they scored 33 against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same against the Patriots defense. They're going to fall 28-17 to the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
It's pronounced Gillette.
Gillette.
No, it's not.
Gillette.
Any chance you picked that game because it was a lot safer than taking the 49ers in Seattle?
Is that who you're taking?
Not at all. I'm looking down the thing here. I see 5 home dogs this week, you guys. Usually, that's a reasonably safe bet. Not so. There is one that's going to take it this week, and that's the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Carolina Panthers. They're 3-point dogs at home. Not only are they going to cover, they're going to win outright. Julio Jones is going to have more than 1 touchdown. This Panthers team is struggling, man. They can't protect. I think the only team they really looked good against was the 49ers, and who hasn't? I like the Falcons offense. I like what they're doing. I think they win this one 31-20 behind at least 2 touchdowns from Julio Jones.
Wow. Neither of you went local. So do I go Raiders? Do I go Niners?
Well, Dave, that's really up to you. You're going to go with the Raiders, aren't you?
Yeah, nope. I'm going to go with the Niners. I'm going to go with the 49ers hosting the Cowboys at home, sort of, in Santa Clara. And the line here, Dallas favored by 2. Favored by 2. Make the line 8.5, and Dallas will still cover the spread. Let's go with 1 touchdown and 1 interception for Blaine Gabbert. And that's the only touchdown the 49ers will get. I'll throw in a couple of field goals for the 49ers. So let's make it 13 for the 49ers. On the other side of the ball, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott will continue to make people wonder if Tony Romo gets that job back when he returns. Now, you're not going to see, more than likely, I hope you don't see Dez Bryant because, you know, he's got a broken leg. But you're going to see Jason Witten in the end zone once. You're going to see Ezekiel Elliott in the end zone twice. You're going to add in another couple of Dan Bailey field goals there. That's going to make your final score 27 13, the Dallas Cowboys walk away with yet another victory.
Golly.
And the 49ers and Trent Baalke just continue to be sad. And fans at Levi's Stadium continue to roast in the sun, even though it's fall.
I think it's supposed to rain Sunday, so they got that going for them.
That's true. It's cloudy. Little lightning bolt in there.
Have we done? Did we do our pick four?
We did not do our pick four. So very, very, very quickly, let's get to our pick four. Katie, first game on the list here is the Niners and Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Cowboys.
All right. Raiders, Ravens.
I went back and forth on this, but I'm sticking with the Raiders.
Seahawks in New York taking on the Jets. Really? Seahawks. Wow. Mm-hmm. Saints and Chargers.
I'm actually going to take the Saints. I think they're finally going to win a game. And I think I'm going to go, like I said earlier, high scoring. I'm going to take 38-34.
I think that's a pretty good bet there, Nathan.
Ooh, okay. Niners, Cowboys. I will take the Cowboys. I will also take the Ravens, followed by the Seahawks. And then I'm going to take the Chargers. I think they win at home. The Saints are just going to continue to eat garbage. Final score of that one, let's go with 35-28.
35-28.
Straight up touchdowns across the board.
Yeah, you guys are pretty close there. Give me the Cowboys over the Niners. The Raiders in Baltimore getting another road win and another win on the East Coast. The Seahawks and Jets. It's a tough one, man. This really is a tough one. I wish I knew how healthy Russell Wilson was, but I think Kristen Michael and the rest of that team, just enough to get the Jets. They'll inch it out, but they'll get the Jets. Maybe 3-5 points there. Saints and Chargers. I'm going to continue to be a dum-dum. At some point, it's just at some point, Drew Brees and Mark Ingram why am I forgetting the receivers on my fantasy team?
Brandon Cooks.
Thank you. Brandon Cooks and the rest of the gang, they're going to be able to outpace that porous defense of theirs. I agree with all you guys. Saints, Chargers, there's no defense in this one. I'm going to go 42-31. Give me the New Orleans Saints. So there you go, kids. Again, don't forget, big football weekend on KHDK. Clemson, Louisville starts at 4:30 tomorrow, right after UC Davis football market down quadruple header starting at 6:30 a.m. Colts and Jaguars. And kids, everyone makes this mistake every year. So let me give you a Carmichael Dave public service announcement. Set your lineups on Saturday. Do not do it where everybody every year wakes up at 8, 9 a.m. and they're really sad because they forgot to put in Blake Bortles or Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns or Julius Thomas or Andrew Luck or T.Y. Hilton. There's a lot of fantasy players going in this game. Please set your lineups following that game. Raiders, Ravens, Broncos, Bucks, and, of course, Sunday night.
Can people still call in with their pick four?
We'll take one more if you want, 339-1140.
Or even as the show ends.
1-800-920-1140. Then call in. Matt says he's not answering. It's ribbon cutting day down at Golden One Center. David Stern is in town as the arena will officially open up for business. Hopefully see a lot of you at Fan Fest tomorrow evening. It still has that new arena smell there.
It does.
For Kevin Sharitz and Matt George behind the glass, Nate Goodyear, who hates everybody. Apparently, Katie Christensen.
Except for me.
Especially myself.
All dressed up and looking phenomenal today, ready to go.
It's Friday.
I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you Monday at 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.